Welcome to Hope Sabbath School, an in-depth, interactive study of the Word of God. I'm glad you joined us. I'm excited today. We're starting a brand new series entitled Rest in Christ. Wherever you are on your journey, you need rest for your soul, and that rest can be found in Jesus Christ. So we're glad you're with us. I'm excited today not only to welcome you and our Gideon's Band team. That means there's still only five of us, right? Give a wave out to everybody. But we're excited that we have three team members joining us remotely today. We have Shana joining us from Maine. We have Puya joining us from Hawaii. And we have Addison joining us from British Columbia in Canada. So we're making history today on Hope Sabbath School. And it's part of being flexible, because even though our movement is hindered, the gospel is not hindered. Is that right?
Amen.
And so we're excited that you're here with us as part of our Hope Sabbath School family. And we're always happy to hear from you wherever you are around the world. So let me just read a few emails from some of our Hope Sabbath School family. Chizaram writes to us from California. Chizaram says, I was born in Nigeria, but moved to the U.S. in my late teens for school. Now I'm working and living in California. I've been pushing aside writing this testimony for a very long time. But this time, the Holy Spirit impressed me not to push it any longer. Well, Herod, I can see by your smile, you want to hear Chizaram's testimony. He says, in 2018, when I was really struggling with everything, both spiritually and mentally, I was introduced to Hope Sabbath School.
Amen.
And I quickly fell in love with the program. Ever since, I had many moments when I lost track, but I can firmly say it's been a whole year for me and I haven't missed a single program.
Praise God.
Well, you say, that's great. That's a loyal viewer. But it gets better, Gladys. This program has changed my life.
Amen.
And it has been great to see the transformation. The Hope Sabbath School program has helped me to start a personal Bible study program.
Wow.
I've also started studying the Bible with one of my friends.
Amen.
And I hope other friends will join us soon. It's been like a whirlwind, but I'm most thankful to know that God loves me and wants the best for me. Can you say amen?
Amen. Oh, praise God.
Shizaram, thank you for that incredible testimony from California. God bless you. You're not only finding salvation in Jesus, you're, what would you say? An evangelist. That's awesome. Here's a note from Rhonda and Anthony in the United Kingdom. That's my home territory. We live in Milton Keynes in the UK. We've been watching Hope Sabbath School for the past year and really enjoy the study. It's very inspiring. Love the group interactions and the testimonies. May God continue to bless you. And then they have a Bible text at the bottom. With God, nothing shall be impossible.
Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you for writing to us, Rhonda and Anthony from the United Kingdom. We're glad you're part of our Hope Sabbath School family. Here is a regular note sent to Hope Channel by a donor who says from Indiana in the United States. We don't mention the names, but the testimony I think is encouraging. It's with great joy that I send this note to inform you just how much the power of God is with you all.
Amen.
We say,
Amen.
Praise God.
Yeah, praise God.
The Holy Spirit takes over your study, your demeanor, and your love for God shows. Praise God. I've watched Hope Sabbath School for 3 years, and I have enjoyed every episode. I've come to know you all on a personal level. Oh, I just thank you. Your enthusiasm is contagious. Well, I wish I could read the whole letter. Thank you to the donor from Indiana. But it concludes by saying, I've got a donation I'd like to share with Hope Sabbath School to further the gospel work around the world in such a time as this, and a donation of $1,000 to help Hope Sabbath School.
Amen.
I just want to say thank you to our donor in Indiana and to all of our donors wherever you are. Well, from PNG, Popon writes from PNG, Papua New Guinea, and says, Hi, I'm watching in Papua New Guinea. I watch YouTube and was blessed. Thank you. May God continue to bless you as you share the word of God. Amen?
Amen.
So all the way from California to Papua New Guinea, here's one last note from Malawi. Emmanuel writes and says, greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Greetings.
Well, that deserves a ways, doesn't it?
Yes.
I used to watch Hope Sabbath School in 2011 when Hope Channel was included as a free channel on cable TV. Later, it was excluded. But now it's easy because I can watch Hope Sabbath School on the internet. That's right. You can go to hopetv.org/hopeSS, or you can get our Hope Channel app, and you can watch anywhere in the world. My wife and I watch the studies every week. The program has been helping us to understand the Bible.
Amen.
May God bless you and your families as you reach out to every part of the world. That's from the beautiful country of Malawi. Well, we'd love to hear from you. You can write to us at sshope@hopetv.org. Right now, we're going to sing our theme song, which is taken from Matthew chapter 11. It's actually the words of Jesus, verses 28 to 30. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Let's sing together. Well, I love that song. And before we pray, I just want to say to our Hope Sabbath School members around the world that we have a special gift for you during this quarter of our studies on rest in Christ. We would like to give you 12 of the trilogy scripture songs like the ones we sing. In fact, Come to Me, our theme song for this series, is part of those 12 songs. All you have to do is go to our website, hopetv.org/hopeSS, and click on Get Free Gift. That's easy, isn't it?
Yes.
There's a button, Get Free Gift. You just click on that, you'll get a link and be able to download not only the theme song for this series, but 11 other beautiful scripture songs to hide in your heart. That's our gift to you. Right now, let's pray together. Father in heaven, we're thankful that we can study about resting Christ. We're excited today because we know your Holy Spirit will guide our discussion and bless lives around the world. So thank you for your presence. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, our first study in this series is entitled Living in a 24/7 Society. Mm-hmm. Now, Gladys, that's kind of a new expression. You know, probably some people growing up, they didn't know what that meant. What does it mean to live in a 24/7 society?
In a world that is 24 hours, 7 days a week, nonstop, just going and going.
So you would say that would be a fairly intense place to live, right?
Definitely.
A 24/7 society. And in the first part of our study, we want to talk about some characters in the Bible who got depleted. Now, we have an expression in English, and I know we've got folks from all around the world, but we have the expression running on empty. Addison, up there in British Columbia, could you help us? What does running on empty mean where you live?
You know, it could be physical, spiritual. I know recently I went skiing, and then I went on a hike the next day. And to be honest, over the last year, I haven't exercised as much as I would like to. And so I was gassed the next day when I was trying to go hiking. But that's just one example.
All right. You used another expression, I was gassed. But running on empty specifically comes from the idea that you're driving a vehicle and you ran out of fuel, right?
Okay.
It's like, whether it's physically, emotionally, spiritually, you just kind of feel depleted. Mm-hmm. And there are people in this 24/7 society, maybe some watching Hope Sabbath School today, maybe you're watching and you're saying, Derek, I'm depleted. Mm-hmm. Let's look at some Bible stories and find the solution, because we're talking about rest in Christ. Let's go first to 1 Kings. Brittany, if you could begin our Bible study in 1 Kings 19 and read for us the first four verses. This is a great man of God who's been used in powerful ways, but right now he's running on empty. He's depleted. Let's hear the story.
I'll be reading from the New King James Version, 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 1 through 4. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done. Also, how he had executed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, "So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." And when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life, and went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and he came and sat down under a broom tree. And he prayed that he might die, and said, "It is enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's."
So I don't know. It's a long way. First of all, he ran from Mount Carmel to Samaria. Then he goes to Beersheba, way in the south. Then he goes an additional day's journey into the desert, having left his servant. What kind of depletion would you say he's experiencing, Sabina?
Oh, for sure, emotional depletion, because he was afraid for his life, right?
Okay.
And also physical depletion, because he's been running around. I wonder if he had been able to eat even something at this point. And I can think also just spiritually also, he might be wondering if God is still with him, even though God had been with him before, if he was still with him right now where his life was about to end potentially.
Well, we would agree he's depleted. Mm-hmm. Now, you hold on, and those of you who are remote with us, I'm going to ask you the end of the story in just a minute. But let's look at another person, perhaps less well-known than Elijah, in Jeremiah chapter 45, verses 2 and 3, is another Bible character. Jason, if you have that, would read verses 2 and 3 of Jeremiah 45. He's also depleted.
Yeah, amen. So I'll be reading the book of Jeremiah, the 45th chapter, in 2nd and the 3rd verse. And the Bible says, Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, to you, O Baruch, you said, woe is me now, for the Lord has added grief to my sorrow. I faint in my sighing, and I find no rest.
Well, he sounds in poor shape too, doesn't he?
Yeah.
So can anybody tell me who Baruch was? Yes, Brittany.
He was a scribe of Jeremiah, the prophet. So whatever message that God gave to Jeremiah, he would write it down, and that message then would be delivered to the people.
Mm-hmm. And why was he feeling so depleted? Why was he so discouraged? Anyone want to share? Shana, do you have a thought for us? Why was he so discouraged? And Puya, I see your hand as well.
I mean, he had to be writing a lot. there was a lot that the Lord was speaking to Jeremiah, to his people. And so Baruch had to be like.
That's true. And actually, Puya, something else was going on, wasn't it? Because you remember the first scroll that he wrote for Jeremiah got cut up in pieces. Mm-hmm. But it sounds like the opposition towards Jeremiah is also towards his scribe. Puya, you want to add to that?
Yes. If we read verse 1 of that chapter, we're told that this was the fourth year of King Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah. And in history, when we look at that time period, it was around 605 or 604 BC. A lot of political turmoil was happening around Judah. And so I think not only was Baruch discouraged from what he was receiving about the news that the people of Judah were to be taken captive, but I also believe that it had to do with what he saw around him. All the political problems that were happening around him discouraged him in many ways, I believe, which is, I would say, very similar to our current world political climate around the world.
Sounds very similar, doesn't it? Before we get the answer in the rest of the story, Sabina, I'm going to ask you to take us to one more story in Mark chapter 6, verses 30 and 31. At this point, maybe one of our viewers is saying, Derek, that's me. I feel like Baruch, or I feel like Elijah. Or here, now we're actually talking about the disciples of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Let's see how they're feeling, like they're running on empty. Actually, they are so empty, they don't even realize it. Jesus has to bring it to their attention. Read to us from Mark 6, 30 and 31.
Okay, so I'll be reading from the New King James Version, and it says, then the apostles gathered to Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said to them, come aside by yourselves to a desert place and rest a while, for there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat.
So why are they feeling like they're depleted, exhausted, running on empty? What have they been doing?
They've been preaching.
They've been doing good things.
Exactly.
They've been preaching the gospel and healing the sick in the name of Jesus, casting out demons by the authority given to them by Jesus. But they are so busy that they haven't even been able to care for themselves physically. Anybody have a testimony, either here in the studio or our remote team, that you've had a time when you felt like that? You just felt like you were like totally depleted. Gladys.
Well, recently my cousin died of COVID. And just the whole process of being in the hospital, it put a lot of a heavy toll on the family. And we went out for the funeral. And those few days, you just ministering to the family, helping around. I didn't sleep for like 3 days. Just, I couldn't sleep. It was just so much. And I drove to New York, and then I drove back. And I was so wired that I didn't realize how tired emotionally, physically, and spiritually I was.
That's interesting. You use the expression wired. You were running on adrenaline while being empty at the same time. That's a dangerous place to be, isn't it?
Definitely.
Now, we could spend all of our time with the problem, but there's certainly a problem, not only with Elijah. God does take care of him, by the way, if you haven't read the book, right? And Baruch and the disciples. But what positive lesson, before we go into our study more deeply, could you learn from each of those characters in terms of what God wants to do for us today? Yes, Sabina.
that for sure for each one of them, God had a solution. So both like the story of the apostles, we know that Jesus, even he's about to multiply food here in this passage that we just read, for instance. And also with Elijah, he had also provided already that Elijah, as much as he had already fed Elijah before, that Elijah would be kept alive and would have food. So I think that one of the lessons that we can have is that whenever we found ourselves in that space, that we have God and that he is going to provide for us, we just need to trust.
Amen. Amen. In fact, God, at the very beginning of creation, provided a reminder that we need rest. Now, we know that Jesus doesn't come until, you know, many thousands of years later. The Son of God is incarnated. But the Son of God was from the beginning. The Word was with God and was God at the very creation, right? Mm-hmm. And he claims to be Lord of this gift that he gives. So let's go back to Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. And Shana, up there in Maine, could you read for us from Genesis chapter 2, 1 to 3? Because I think we're going to discover we need this gift that was given to us even at the beginning.
Okay, and I'll be reading from the King James Version. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made.
Now, the word Sabbath isn't mentioned in that text, but the word rest is, and Sabbath means rest, right? So later in the commandments, when it says, remember the Sabbath, it's saying, remember to
rest.
Yeah, what kind of rest? Well, rest in Christ, right? Rest in your Creator and, of course, our Redeemer and soon coming King. So what type of rest do we need every Sabbath day? What type of rest do we need, Brittany?
It's all the three that we've been talking about, physical, mental, spiritual, emotional. We're a whole being that is made up of all these different parts, and we need complete rest in Christ.
Now, Puya, I want to talk to you over there in Hawaii, because you started on our Hope Sabbath School team many years ago, but today, actually, you are a pastor there in Hawaii, and Sabbath is a busy day for you, sharing the gospel message. But how do you experience rest in Christ on the Sabbath?
Oh, that's a good question. You know, as you mentioned, I now live in the beautiful islands of Hawaii, which is a destination for many people to come find rest here. But as for myself, I find rest in Christ when I completely surrender to him. Because at the end of the day, even though I live in a place where people come to rest and spend their vacation time, I'm finding it very challenging to actually be resting, because with all this technology that we have, it seems that we have more appointments, more online Zoom meetings all week long, and there's just a lot of work that needs to be done nonstop. And so the way I find rest in God is by surrendering to him every morning and praying every night before I go to sleep and reading the Word of God, just completely submitting myself to him. And of course, on the Sabbath, I try to take some time in nature with my church members. We go out hiking in some parts of the islands here, and we just try to enjoy God's beautiful nature and worship him in nature. And that always replenish my soul in God.
That's beautiful. Addison, I saw you had your hand raised there in British Columbia. Now, you're not a full-time pastor at the present time, but you are involved in a lot of ministry. A lot of our Hope Sabbath School members have heard you sing. We actually did some worship together yesterday on Vancouver Island. Everything is remote, like Puya said. By the way, you can go to Hawaii online and watch Pastor Puya preaching. I've done that too. Addison, how do you find rest on Sabbath, even with all of the ministry opportunities that you have?
There's a couple of things I enjoy to do. Along with Puya, I love to get out in nature. Usually with my brother and sister-in-law, we'll go for a nice walk. There's so many beautiful trails, a lot of great mountains to hike around the area. And also I love to sometimes take a nap in the afternoon, especially if I preach that morning. Mm-hmm. Sabbath is such an amazing time for me because it's a way for me to get my mind off my own pursuits, my own interests that I'm pursuing throughout the week, whether that's with school or future endeavors, and be able to fully or more fully comprehend the wonderful works of creation and the unspeakable gift of the Sabbath.
Oh, that's beautiful. I'm sure a lot of people are saying, I'm going to write down, take a nap. that's okay. Don't sleep the whole Sabbath, yeah. Right? By the way, if you feel like you need to sleep the whole Sabbath, you're probably sleep deprived all week. So we need to be balanced, but God cares about every aspect. Doesn't it say in the story, Brittany, of Elijah that God sent an angel and told him, take a nap?
Yes.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. He ate something, took a nap, woke up, eat something else.
Yeah.
Finally, he says, you know, this 7,000, you're not all by yourself who've not bowed the knee to Baal. Yeah. So, but God cares about us. Now, we're going to look at the theme of rest now through the Old and the New Testament, but it sounds like it's very relevant for our lives today, Harold, in our 24/7 society where a lot of people feel like they're running on empty. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, especially like when you do IT work, given that with all the technology, like that takes a lot of time. Mm-hmm. And many times I spend 10, 12 hour days. And by the time I get home, I'm like, great. I also don't want to miss out on my wife, too. So I need to spend time with my wife. So it's like, how can I have this balanced life? And actually, I need God because he needs to direct my life, my work life, everything. Mm-hmm. Because many times we can make idols based on like what we do, even though it's good, maybe that's an opportunity God's telling us, hey, you need to get out of that job maybe. Maybe you need to do something else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're in IT, that's information technology. Mm-hmm. So in this world when we're all working on Zoom and so dependent on our emails and so on, you're making all of that work and that's not without stress. It sounds like we need rest in Christ not just on Sabbath, we need it there too, but we need rest in Christ all week. What do you think, Sabina?
True. Absolutely. I'm also thinking about the fact that nowadays, because of technology, as we are sharing, a lot of what we do is indoors. So we lose the sense of time, you know. You don't see the sun coming out. You don't see the sun going down. And there is a risk, especially if you're an alcoholic person, that you're going to keep working nonstop and you don't even see the sunlight outside. So it is very important, Pastor Derek.
Now, the Bible talks about this rest that we need. Mm-hmm. We're going to go search through some scriptures. And I'm going to ask Puya if you'd begin reading in Numbers chapter 10 for us. We know we've just read from Genesis 2 that part of the rest is physical rest from our work, right? But let's look in Numbers. We'll look at several verses in the Old and the New Testament that speak about the rest. And we know that this rest is found in our relationship with God, our relationship with Christ. Puya, could you read for us from Numbers 10, 34 to 36?
Sure. And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. And the cloud of the Lord was above them by day when they went out from the camp. So it was whenever the ark set out that Moses said, rise up, O Lord, let your enemies be scattered and let those who hate you flee before you. And when it rested, he said, return, O Lord, to the many thousands of Israel.
Now, the word rested there, of course, the cloud isn't resting, like, right? It's not sleeping, right?
Yes.
What does the word mean there when it's speaking about rest?
Stationary.
Yeah. Stationary, almost, right?
Yeah.
Maybe we need some of that too, right? Mm-hmm. Just slow down.
Yes.
Be stationary. But I think Sabina says, and get outside and get some fresh air and sunshine while you're stationary. So that's another idea of rest, of kind of an inner calm. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
Not just stopping our work. 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 15. Addison, could you read that for us? 2 Kings 2 and verse 15. These are different usages of rest we're looking at through Scripture.
And I am reading from the King James Version. 2 Kings 2:15. And when the sons of the prophets, which were to view at Jericho, saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him.
All right. The spirit that rested on Elijah now rests on his servant, Elisha. What's the meaning of rest in that context? Brittany?
Well, I was just thinking about Elisha's prayer. When Elijah went up to heaven, he said, may a double portion of the spirit that Elijah have be upon me. And Elijah promised, if you see me go up, you'll receive that. And so now the people are acknowledging that God's spirit is abiding or resting in Elisha, and God is using him in the same way that he used Elijah.
I like that word you used, abide. It reminds me of later when Jesus talks about the vine and the branches and abiding or remaining. Yes. We might even say resting in Christ, right? Mm-hmm. Resting as in not just no work or being stationary, but actually the presence of Christ. Yes. Does that sound good?
Yes.
Resting upon us.
Yes.
This is another idea of resting. What about Joshua 11 and verse 23? Joshua, Gladys, if you could read Joshua 11 and verse 23. We're looking at different usages of this idea of rest in the scriptures.
I'm reading from the New Living Translation, Joshua chapter 11, verse 23. So Joshua took control of the entire land, just as the Lord had instructed Moses. He gave it to the people of Israel as their special possession, dividing the land among the tribes, so the land finally had rest from war.
Mm. That's a different usage of rest, isn't it? The land had rest. What does that mean? Anybody, one of our remote team members, what does it mean, the land had rest from war?
If they weren't having to constantly be at war, you know, they were able to be at peace for a time.
So rest from trouble,
yes,
right? Rest from
destruction.
Destruction.
Yeah, in their case, from physical battle even.
Rest from physical conflict. Yeah. Jason?
That's what I was thinking, like the land was able to cultivate itself again because it got time to be able to grow and everything because it wasn't anyone warring on it or stepping on it or trampling upon.
A lot of times when war happened, they had what they even do some parts today, what they call scorched earth. Policy where they just burn it, cut all the trees down, burn all the crops. So even the land and the people of the land get rest, Sabina?
And I'm thinking also that people, you know, when they are in a situation of political unrest and conflict, they tend to be in alert all the time. You know, even when they are sleeping, they are anxious. They are thinking about solutions for that. So I can think of this type of rest also that comes from finally coming to a resolution of a problem.
It kind of reminds me of how Gladys was feeling having been ministering to family, and she was needing sleep but didn't feel like she could rest.
Yeah.
And finally finding rest. One last and very important usage of rest in the scripture. We think of it in John 11 quickly, but I'm going to stay in the Old Testament in Deuteronomy, because even in the Old Testament, death is spoken of as rest or sleep. Deuteronomy 31. Jason, would you read verse 16 for us?
Yeah, it'd be my pleasure. So I'm reading Deuteronomy 31 chapter 16 verse, and I'm reading from the New King James Version. And the Bible says, and the Lord said to Moses, behold, you will rest with your fathers, and the people will rise and play the harlot with the gods of the foreigners of the land, where they go to be among them, and they will forsake me and break my covenant, which I have made with them.
But I notice the Lord said to Moses, you will rest. Let's look at that in 2 Samuel 7 and verse 12. Shana, could you find that for us in 2 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 12? We're just in the Old Testament. By the way, if you look at the size of the Bible, the Old Testament or Hebrew scriptures is a large portion of it, isn't it?
Yeah.
But we see the theme of rest. And we say we need that rest. Shana, do you have 2 Samuel 7 and verse 12?
I do, and I'll be reading from the King James Version. And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom.
So that's an old English Bible called the King James, right? So it's got words like vowels and things that we don't use today. But that idea of sleep or rest, we're going to find that in the New Testament too. Remember in John 11, where when Lazarus dies, Jesus says, our friend Lazarus is sleeping. And I'm going to wake him up. Now, I don't think any of us would say, I need the sleep of death rest, or though maybe someone who's struggling with a terminal illness, they're not afraid of the sleep of death because they have salvation. Have you met someone like that? Like, it's okay, I just want to rest. But not just any rest. Help me now. What's the theme of this series? I just want to rest in Christ. Because it's just asleep until the resurrection. Isn't that a beautiful thought? Amen. Well, let's go to the New Testament, and we're going to see this theme of rest continuing. We read, Sabina, I think you read from Mark chapter 6.
Yes.
But let's read it again, maybe in another version of the Bible. Gladys, could you read Mark 6, verses 30 and 31? I think as we do this scan, we see there are many types of rest, being no work, being stationary, having the presence of God rest upon us, and even the rest of the sleep of death. But this is something I think we can all relate to in a 24/7 society. Mark 6, 30 and 31 again.
I'm reading from the New Living Translation. The apostles returned to Jesus from their ministry tour and told him all they had done and taught. Then Jesus said, "Let's go off by ourselves to a quiet place and rest a while." And he said this because there were so many people coming and going that Jesus and his disciples didn't even have time to eat.
Now, it's interesting, Puya, over there in Hawaii, pastoring three churches, is that right? And you said Sabbath can be very busy for you, two or three churches, I know. Very busy for you. Sometimes you like to get out to a deserted place and to rest a while. But just to be away from the crowd, I think there's something else. And Puya, could you read to us? Actually, it's our theme song for this quarter from Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. Because when we get away, nature's good. But, you know, you could be out in nature all stressed out with, with your earbuds blaring loud music and, you know, all kinds of stresses around you. Let's see what Jesus wants to do for us. Thank you, Puya, for reading from Matthew 11, 28 to 30.
Sure. And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light."
Thank you, Puya, for reading that. I want to just speak to our Hope Sabbath School family. If all you learn in this series on rest in Christ is the words of Jesus in Matthew 11, 28 to 30, and actually embrace them and find rest for your soul, this series will have been worthwhile. But let me remind you that that theme song that we're singing all during the series, we want to give you that song and 11 other scripture songs that can bless your heart. Don't forget, you can go to our website, hopetv.org/hopess. Get free gift is the button. You push that, you'll get a link. I want to walk around maybe during this series listening to that song and just saying, God, thank you. Jesus, thank you that you want to give me rest for my soul.
Amen.
Rest for my soul. Let me ask you a question. Do you think you can have rest for your soul even when you're really busy, like working very active and lots of things? Is that possible to have calm soul even in a very stressful situation? Jason?
Yeah, I just had something like that this week. I just started a new job. And of course, learning new things is very difficult, especially when they're new to you. And so I found my week being very, very slow paced and very, very dragging because it was a lack of my spiritual time with the Lord. But as soon as I started to get into that motion of devotion, I like to say, and I started to see the next week, it was totally different. It was like the same routine, but it was a totally different perspective that I had because I was spending time with Jesus and I had that peace that he gives.
I like that little little expression, motion.
Was it motion of devotion?
Motion of devotion. In other words, don't get so busy that you neglect what's most important. Yes. Spending time resting in Christ and having His presence rest upon you. Well, one last verse in the New Testament, Luke 23, verse 56. Got one of our remote team would like to read that for us. Luke 23 and verse 56. Addison, if you have that and could read it for us. What rest is this speaking about?
And I'm reading from the King James Version. Luke 23, 56. And they returned and prepared spices and ointments and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment.
Mm-hmm. So what's the context there? Anybody? Well, yes, Brittany?
Jesus.
Oh, go ahead, Shana. I hear you there up in Maine.
Sorry. This was Jesus's death.
So Jesus died. We call that preparation day Good Friday. The only thing that was good about it is that our salvation was worked out. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
The way he was treated was not good, right? Spat upon, beaten, hung up upon a cross, right? Mocked. But what was good about it was that God's plan of salvation, that Christ would lay down his life for us, to a revelation of the immeasurable, unfailing love of God. That was it. But then Sabbath is coming, and Addison said that they rested. Now, what kind of rest were they? Is that talking about? Well, ideally, it's a lot of rest, isn't it? What rest? At least was it talking about with the Sabbath coming on, Brittany?
Well, in the context of what was happening, the women had gone to embalm Jesus' body, but then Sabbath came, so they stopped the work of embalming, so physical rest, at least in that part of the text. But so, we know there was more to it than
we
that.
We would hope there's more. Mm-hmm. But at least they stopped their work because the scriptures say 6 days labor, the seventh day is the Sabbath, in it you shall not do any work. In fact, not even anyone who's visiting your house or on your farm should rest, right? Yeah. Even the stranger. Didn't it say that, Harold?
Yeah.
The stranger within your guests. Give your animals a day off, too. I imagine the animals going, yes, it's Sabbath, right?
Yes.
But Brittany, you're alluding to the fact, and I think this is really important, and I want to give our remote team a chance to add something, too. That ideally these women, godly women, their Messiah has just been brutally killed. What other type of rest ideally would they experience besides just stopping work? Brittany?
Well, hopefully communion with God. Even though their Savior, the one they had followed, had died, they were going through a mourning period. But hopefully they looked up that their Father in heaven was still with them and that he would get them through this trial.
Yes. Amen.
How well do you think they did, Shana? Let's not be too hard on them. We've never been through this kind of trauma. Yeah. But they didn't run away and hide like some other people. They came back on the first day early in the morning. Shana, how do you think these women, these holy women, these women of God, followers of Jesus, how were they doing at this time, finding the rest in Christ that they needed?
Well, it was a very tumultuous time. And throughout the life of Jesus, I'm sure, or as is stated in the Bible, the Pharisees were always trying to plot different ways to get him. And so I'm thinking that they experienced some sort of emotional rest as well. Like, he doesn't have to be going through all of this. He's resting now, which is why they were at peace with just embalming his body and laying him to rest.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to ask Puya over there in Hawaii. Puya, did they really rest in Christ to the extent that they believed he would rise the third day as he had said? What do you think?
It doesn't seem to be so because on the third day, on the first day of the week, after the Sabbath was over, it seemed that they did not expect Jesus to be resurrected, which is why they went to the tomb and were surprised to find that Jesus had been resurrected. Yeah. So it seemed that they did not fully comprehend the plan of God as indicated from the Old Testament too, that they fully did not understand, or they fully did not rest to the extent that to the full extent that God intended them to be.
Mm-hmm. But let's encourage them. At least they rested some, right?
Yes.
They didn't run away. Yes. I'm sure that when they came to the tomb, they were to some extent resting in Christ, saying, we don't know what's going to happen here, but we're trusting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're trusting in God. Does that make sense?
Amen.
Yeah, and of course, the outcome was much better than than even they imagined, because the promise of Jesus is fulfilled.
Amen. That's true. And I'm thinking also that, you know, even though they, as Puya was mentioning, we know from scriptures that they were surprised, still they were keeping the commandment of the Lord. And as they come after the Sabbath, they have the wonderful experience of being the first ones to realize that he had been resurrected. Mm-hmm. Imagine if they had decided to break the commandment just to come and, you know, because they were anxious to pay the, you know, homage to Jesus and do the ointment that they were supposed to do. If they had come on the Sabbath, they would have missed the opportunity of being the first ones to see Jesus resurrected, right?
Mm-hmm. They needed that rest in Christ. And could we agree we all need that?
Yes, amen.
We all need that, don't we? Not just on Sabbath, but we need that all through the week. Well, I heard one person say, well, I'm thankful for the Sabbath, you know, rest from my labor, let Christ rest, abide, like Brittany said, in Christ, let his presence rest upon me. But maybe we need mini Sabbaths during the week, right?
Absolutely.
Rest times. Mm-hmm. To just say, I'm resting in Christ. Resting in Christ. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Puya.
Yes. And in my personal walk with God, in the past, I believe I used to be in a place where I was constantly afraid of the judgment of God, constantly afraid of what my future was going to be without the assurance of salvation and without the ability to find rest in Christ. I was trying to do all the right thing in the right way, in countless ways. I tried to follow the laws and the rules of the Bible as much as I could. But I did not find spiritual rest in Christ for a very long time. And when God opened my eyes that I can have assurance of salvation today because of Jesus, because Jesus is my high priest right now, that he is my righteousness and that his righteousness has been given to me. And I can freely receive that and rest in him in that personal relationship with God. And when I came to that place to know that I did not have to work to earn salvation, which is what most religions around the world teaches, to earn God's favor by performance. When I came to that realization that I did not have to perform to earn God's favor, but that God had already loved me while I was a sinner and have given me his righteousness as long as I'm willing to receive that. Mm-hmm. So when I came to that understanding, I began to experience spiritual rest in Jesus Christ as my righteousness and gladly walk in the newness of life that he has given me. And it is the best experience in the world to know that Christ has set us free from the bondage of sin and slavery of sin. And it is freedom to walk in that newness of life and to rest in Jesus Christ's righteousness.
Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you so much for sharing, Puya. You know, Puya was 20 years old when he first stood in this spot and taught this class, and it was his third language that he was teaching with. And the hand of the Lord, we talked about the Spirit of God resting, the Spirit of Christ resting on someone. We just want to say thank you to you, Puya, for being in full-time ministry there in Hawaii and for that testimony today. We want to wrap up our study, well, with a restless character in Genesis chapter 4. And I only do this because maybe someone says, you don't know how restless I feel. Well, there is a story in Genesis chapter 4. And we're going to start with verse 12. I don't know, does anyone have the New International Version here today? I don't think we do we? Well, let's just take, what translation do you have, Gladys?
New Living Translation.
New Living Translation. Mm-hmm. Would you read for us Genesis 4 and verse 12?
Genesis 4, verse 12, and he says, no longer will the ground yield good crops for you, no matter how hard you work. From now on, you will be a homeless wanderer on the earth.
So the NIV says a restless wanderer, mm-hmm. a restless wanderer. Yours says homeless.
Homeless.
Mm-hmm. Homeless. I think restless may be a better translation because he builds a city mm-hmm. and yeah. names it after his son, mm-hmm. one of his sons, mm-hmm. Enoch. That's not the Enoch that walked right. with God. That's another Enoch. But restless. Why was Cain so restless? Tell what's mm-hmm. what's the Bible tell us? Brittany, what's the story of Cain?
Yeah, so it's a sad story. After Adam and Eve turned away from God and went their own way and fell into sin, then we see that they had two children, and Cain was the oldest of the two. And they actually believed he was going to be the long-awaited deliverer, but he ended up murdering his own brother because of jealousy over offerings that they brought to the Lord. His younger brother brought an offering of a lamb, which God had asked to represent what Jesus would one day do for us, and he brought vegetables as his offering. He was a tiller of the ground while his brother was a shepherd, but one followed what God asked and the other did not. And he ended up becoming jealous and killed his own brother. And even after that, he did not repent. When we keep reading the story, God comes to him and tries to reason with him and tries to give him opportunity to see what he has done and to mm-hmm. confess and to repent and be forgiven. But we see that he actually leaves the presence of the Lord. And so that's why he is restless. He's not in communion with his maker, and he's not at peace with his maker.
You know, he's actually becomes quite terrified that someone will try to kill him. Does the Lord show any grace to Cain?
Yes.
God is abundant in mercy yeah. and grace. Mm-hmm. Let's look and see. Sabina, yeah. could you read for us Genesis chapter 4, mm-hmm. verses 13 through 15?
Yes, and I'll be reading from the New King James Version. And it says, "And Cain said to the Lord, 'My punishment is greater than I can bear. Surely you have driven me out of this day from the face of the ground. I shall be hidden from your face. I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond on the earth. And it will happen that anyone who finds me will kill me.' And the Lord said to him, 'Therefore, whoever kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold.' And the Lord set a mark on Cain, lest anyone finding him should kill him."
So the Lord says, basically, "I'm going to protect you."
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How does he respond? Harold, could you read verses 16 and 17? Because the question I've had for many, many years is, did Cain ever find the rest that God desired for him? Verses 16 and 17.
And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. And it reads, "Then Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Enoch. And he built a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son, Enoch."
Is there any indication that he finds rest for his soul?
Nope.
No. No.
Are we going to make a final decision? Can we say he never found rest for his soul?
No.
We don't know.
No.
Wasn't there a story in the New Testament of a dying thief, Puya, who said, "Lord, remember me," you know, in his dying breath? Mm-hmm. Puya.
Yes, I wanted to read another verse from Jude 1:11, if I could.
Sure. What translation do you have, Puya?
I have the New King James translation, and this text, Jude, in the New Testament, chapter 1, verse 11. Of course, there's only one chapter here.
So it's just verse 11.
Talks about Cain, and it seems to answer the question you were asking earlier, if Cain ever found rest.
Go ahead and read it for us.
Jude 1:11. I'm reading from the New King James Version. "Woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, have run greedily in the error of Balaam for profit, and perish in the rebellion of Korah."
So
here we find... Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're seeing from that there was no change of direction. Well,
it doesn't seem to indicate that. And I would say that the reason why Cain is a restless wanderer is because of his disobedience. So long as we refuse to surrender our lives over to God, we would continue to be restless as well.
Yeah. Well, give me some restless characters in the Bible who found rest, someone's maybe watching today saying, Derek, I need rest. Give me a restless carrot. You just got a few seconds. One, Gladys?
Jacob, when he was running from Esau.
Jacob running from his brother Esau, who wants to kill him, has a dream, sees a vision of, of God's, really a vision of Messiah, connecting heaven and earth. And rest in God's promise. Another one.
I can think of the story of Martha and Mary. I think that eventually Martha also found rest once she heard Jesus. So,
Martha, Martha, slow down. Yes. Addison, another character.
I go to the book of Daniel and I think about King Nebuchadnezzar. And it took him quite a while. I mean, God, it took him 7 years to for God to humble him. But at the end of his, at the end of those 7 years, he confessed and believed in the Lord as the true God and worshiped him.
And actually wrote one chapter of the Bible, right? Daniel chapter 4.
That's right, yeah.
But there's one more who wrote a large portion of the New Testament, Harold. What was his name?
Well, Saul, who is known as Paul.
Yeah. One of the most restless people you could imagine. Exactly. Going around forcing people to blaspheme the name of Jesus. Casting his vote against people when they were put in prison, and yet he finally finds rest in Christ, Jesus, right?
Yes,
and fully devoted to Jesus for the rest of his life. Yeah. Well, there is hope for us. I want to appeal to you as we begin this series on rest in Christ. Even if you say, Derek, I'm so restless, I can't even stand being with myself. You can find rest in Christ.
Amen.
You can find rest not only on Sabbath, but during the week, just saying, I just want to rest in your presence, Lord God. I want your presence to rest upon me and find, as Jesus said, rest for your soul. What a beautiful promise that is. Amen. Let me pray that rest in Christ for you and for each one of us today. Father in heaven, I thank you for this study. And as we continue this series on rest in Christ, may we experience the rest for our souls that only you can give. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
Well, don't forget to go to our website, hopetv.org/hopeSS. There's a button there, Get Free Gift. We want to send you not only the theme song for this series, but 11 other scripture songs so you can hide God's word in your heart. Yes, so that you can find the rest for your soul that he desires for you. Come to me, Jesus says, and you will find rest for your soul. But then, don't just keep that rest to yourself. Take that rest and go out. Bless the lives of those around you. Share with them too, that they can find rest in Christ.